Please now welcome prior champion of the Iditarod 2004-2013, Mitch Seavey, 8 days, 16 hours, 39 minutes.
Evening. I'd like to mention a couple of people first, and of course, first and foremost, is my family. This year, especially, youngest son Conway helped tremendously with the training. We trained together, my team and his junior Iditarod team, and really had a good time. I think he's glad it's over, but we trained up some good dogs. And of course, my wife Janine pretty much holds everything together in a thousand different ways, and all those details that I would obviously overlook without her help. I'd like to mention a couple of sponsors. We have Young Living Essential Oils, J.J. Keller, Petro Marine and Icicle Seafoods in Seward, and Dr. Tim's Momentum Dog Food. He's got a pretty good streak going here at the Iditarod. I'd like to mention Chuck and Tracy Schaefer. You know, they're good friends. They moved from Cottonview down to Willow, and makes it convenient for us to train at their place. So we've been dealing with this weather all year, and being able to train at their place in Willow has been really key for us. And Bob and Gretchen Frohley here in Nome, our host family, has been awesome year after year. Most hospitable people you could imagine. And of course, I'd like to mention too, the sponsors of the race, we're all taking home some nice checks here. And so thanks for the money, people. We really appreciate that. And all the people who are out on the trail at the checkpoints, you know, son Tyrell, daughter-in-law Tekla are out there, good friend Jim Galley, so I hear firsthand some of the things that they do and go through and how they help the race and help the mushers, and a lot of us don't even realize a lot of that behind-the-scenes effort that goes on, so we really appreciate that. And I think especially on a year like this where a lot of mushers come into checkpoints maybe a little more needy than they might be sometimes, so if you can understand how that goes. So we started the race this year with a really fine dog team, 16 big strong males, and I had an awesome ride. Of course, we were warned that the Dalzell Gorge would be, I think the word was technical. I think that was the word that was used, a little technical. So part of technical for me involves the liberal use of the side of your sled for runners. And you know, I have a really well-trained dog team. Usually I can tell them whoa or easy and they respond right away. And they'll stop for me or certainly settle down. It only took a couple of times for me to tell them whoa and they realized I couldn't do anything about it. And they looked at each other and said, yeah, we got them. And the speeds just accelerated. Jason mentioned 30 miles an hour. I don't think my horses can go that fast, but Hans said 20 miles an hour. I'll bet we were going 20 miles an hour down some of those dirt chutes, ice, glazed dirt. And I knew there was a big turn at the bottom, and I said, I don't know how I'm gonna make that corner. And then I realized there was a giant boulder in the middle of the trail at the bottom, and it was turn or be turned. Somehow we did those things, and a lot of us mushers came out of there saying, I don't have any idea how we managed that trail. But the side sliding technique worked real well. And there was one time I was going along literally at full speed and somehow managed to right the sled as I was going. I have no idea how I did that, but it was short-lived. Pretty soon we tried the left side runner technique and dragged for another extended period of time. And I literally couldn't stop them or right the sled. And I didn't know, what am I gonna do now? And so, went along for quite a stretch like that, and until I literally train wrecked into the back of Scott Jansen's team, which was a lifesaver, and we got stopped. And Scott has a saying, it goes something like, given his line of work, many of you know, grief shared is grief diminished. And so he was quoting that to me at the moment, and he said, oh, by the way, I have females and heat. So my 16 boys were on a mission, and it didn't involve listening to me. So by the time we got down to Roan, I joined the other shell shock mushers, and we sort of stood there and trembled for a while, walked around in circles, and then ultimately regrouped and loaded the sled. I decided that the next part of the trail we've seen in dirt before, so this can't be too bad. But the difference was the dirt this year was saturated with rain and frozen, so we had like icy concrete, maybe, would be the texture of the trail. So, you know, stories abound. There was one very interesting spot where we were going along what seemed to be the trail, if you could call it that, and right in the middle of what seemed to be the trail was what really was a huge hole. It was a hole like I've never seen on the trail. You could put a lot of houses in that hole. And my dogs thought the trail went to the right, and at the last minute I decided that the trail went to the left. And so as my dogs went to the right, I said, haw, and they obliged by running around the hole and then going haw. So my front four dogs went around the hole and the rest of us went right into the hole. And I abandoned ship, let the sled go, went down under some trees, and that was one of the places where our, for some of us, our guardian angel, Mike Williams Jr. was there. He said he thought I died when he saw the downed tree where I should be, but thankfully he helped hoist me out of there and got me going again. So the gorge and the buffalo tunnels, the burn was only part of the challenge, but actually the trail was pretty good from about that point on through to Old Woman. And of course the greatest challenge, I think, of the race came right up here, out our back door here, out in the blowhole. And I've never mushed in winds like that quite to that extent, but even at the time where we were being blown sideways up across the ice and rolled into a ball and joining copious piles of driftwood, I was thinking how good it was that there wasn't too much snow there, because we did have visibility. So what I tried to do was run my dogs beside the trail, just somewhere where there might be traction and I could still see the markers. There's those big tall poles, like power poles almost, for markers. And so we were able to make progress that way, and inch by inch, yard by yard, and we counted every 10 feet as a victory going through that blowhole area. But one of the things that happened is my dogs learned that we didn't necessarily have to or even want to run on the trail. Just as long as we were going where there was good footing, they were having a lot of fun. So when I got to safety, the wind started to die down, and I put a young guy up there named Wally, who's a great young leader of mine. And Wally's the kind of dog that just has fun no matter what. And he thought it was the greatest thing in the world to run through those conditions. And so I put him in lead after safety, and Wally just decided to run wherever he wanted to run. It was no longer imperative that he stay on the trail. And the difficult part was that I was falling sound asleep, literally sleeping on the sled. So at least three different times I woke up and there was no marker. There was no trail. I had no idea where we were. The whole area, of course, is crusted hard and frozen. You can run anywhere you want to. And we're going like a scalded cat, nowhere. Hey, Wally, you seen any markers lately? So we did quite a few turnarounds and go back and look for the trail, and had quite a number of adventures there. One, I actually took out a tripod with my head, sleeping on the sled. But ultimately, of course, made it to Nome, and I was very proud of my dogs. They never felt to me like they were overstressed or worried or nervous, and actually, I think they had a good time in some of those adventurous places. It was, however, a very tough trail, very tough race, and I remember back, you know, what we call now the old days, and some of the mushers that I've run with, including Joe Reddington, Susan Butcher. I've raced with Cowboy Smith, and of course, Rick Swenson and Sonny Lindner, and many of the mushers who I count as being the toughest guys out there, not to leave any out. But I would have to say that I think Ali Zirkle and Dallas Seavey are among those toughest mushers I've ever raced with, and my hat's off to them. I just am never going to get used to losing to women and children.